continue walking through the Westminster Shorter Catechism, we have come to this time of confession of faith where we confess as a church, we proclaim what Scripture teaches. And so we have come to question and answer number 38, and you can find this in the Trinity Psalter hymnal on page 970. And I ask you, church, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection?
Amen.
I hope you as well long for that day. That at the resurrection, you will be made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. And by God's providence, we've kind of landed at Psalm 38. So if you have your scriptures, or if you didn't bring them, there is a Bible in front of you. Turn to Turn to Psalm 38. We're continuing walking through the Psalms, our little summer series, if you will, through a portion of the Psalms. We've come to this Psalm 38, a Psalm of David. Really, it is a Psalm that David pleads to the Lord in his sickness, in his disease. And hopefully you will see the relevancy of this text in your own life and those around you. Psalm 38. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning. For my sides are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble. Crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength fails me. And the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long. But I am like a deaf man. I do not hear. Like a mute man who does not open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth are no rebukes. But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer. For I said, only let them not rejoice over me who boast against me when my foot slips. For I am ready to fall and my pain is ever before me. I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin. But my foes are vigorous. They are mighty. And many are those who hate me wrongfully. Those who render me evil for good accuse me because I follow after good. Do not forsake me, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, Lord Most High, we have come to the time in worship to hear from you. Lord, may we humbly submit to these words from Psalm 38. that you already begin to well up from within us, how we can relate to this psalm. And Lord, we pray that you would humble us, that you would cause us to submit to your reign as ruler of our hearts and ruler of this church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, heart disease and cancer are the top two leading causes of death in the United States. Heart disease itself accounts for 1 out of every 5 deaths. The CDC states that a person dies of heart disease every 33 seconds. Heart disease in 2022 killed just over 700,000 people. The numbers for cancer are not that far off. An article I read brought out by the American Cancer Society from 2022 was projecting the numbers of new cases in America. And that number was 1,918,000 new cases. And they projected that there would be 609,000 deaths from cancer in the year 2022. It went on to state that the lifetime probability of being diagnosed with invasive cancer is slightly higher for men, 40.2%, than for women, 38.5%. That's an astonishing number. It's a very high percentage. I say this to say that we are a people filled with disease. Between cancer and heart disease, I imagine every person in this church has been impacted in some way. Perhaps you have been diagnosed with cancer yourself or experienced heart disease. Perhaps you have experienced a stroke or a heart attack. But even if you haven't experienced this yourself, I imagine your family and friends have been impacted. I think of my family alone. My aunt and grandma passed away from cancer. My mom has cancer. My wife's father passed away from cancer. And this isn't even going that far down our family tree. The truth is, we are a people filled with sickness. Sickness is all around us, and we ourselves are filled with sickness. See, even if you have not been diagnosed with some disease, we are filled with the sickness of sin and death. It does not take long to grow old and see your body decay and fall apart and you not be able to do the things that you once were capable of. And these are all signs of the fall. All signs of the promise which God warned Adam and Eve that if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Psalm 38 is able to put to paper what we often experience. It's able to put to paper the sovereign hand of God as he executes his discipline upon his people to drive them back to him. To drive him back to him and to experience the great love with which he showers upon his people. King David displays to us the prayer of the sick by his realization of his sickness and the patient resolve that he displays through his faith in the Lord. Let us unpack these two points and see how they comfort us throughout our lives. The first point King David lays before us is the realization of our sickness. We see this kind of unfold, if you will, in verses 1 through 14. Within this section, David declares that he is overwhelmed by his sickness. He begins the psalm in verses 1 to 2 with the recognition that this has come about by the sovereign hand of the Lord. He states, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. David is petitioning the Lord that he would not judge him and execute the righteous judgment upon him in anger, in his wrath. And the word order is crucial here. He begins by stating, rebuke me not, which in Hebrew means to correct by word as well as punishment. So to exhort, but also to execute punishment. It's the exacting of a righteous punishment for the crime due. David then states, nor discipline me. And this word means to correct by punishment, but with instruction as well. The nuance of discipline is important. It is not as though David is asking the Lord, Lord, do not judge me. Do not judge me for my crime. Rather, he is calling for God to exact this punishment with instruction, with a purpose. Parents and children would understand this distinction. When I spank or discipline my children, it is not simply to give them justice. They don't receive the proper punishment that fits the crime. That would simply be the exacting of a just judgment. Rather, I discipline by giving them justice with instruction. Justice with a purpose. See, the purpose is that my children would turn away from the way in which they are behaving, the way in which they are living, to follow after the path of godliness. It is corrective in nature, not punitive in nature. And David realized that this is from the Lord Almighty himself. In verse 2 we read, for your arrows have sunk into me and your hand has come down on me. Whatever has come upon him is no doubt from the Lord. And the language here of arrows is actually the same language we hear from Job in chapter 6, verse 4, which states this, for the arrows of the Almighty are in me. My spirit drinks their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. This is quite interesting because David in Psalm 38 is the, if you will, the opposite of what Job is. Two different men from two different situations experiencing the all-encompassing hand of God. Unlike Job, though, David realizes that his predicament has been brought about by his sin. In verses 3 and 4, we realize that what David is experiencing is some kind of sickness. He says there is no soundness in his flesh. And the reason comes out at the end of verse 3, because of my sin. And in verse 4, this sin, this iniquity has gone over his head and is like a heavy burden, too heavy for him to carry. Perhaps I've already used this, but it's such a good one. I remember watching the animated version of The Pilgrim's Progress, and those who have even read The Pilgrim's Progress can already see where we're going. But this animated version did such a great job as I was watching this with my boys to see this burden, this weight upon the shoulders of Christian. And as his journey went further and further, it loomed bigger and bigger, hovering over his head. And you could see in his movement, it's slowing him down. This is exactly what's going on. David is speaking of this heavy burden, this heavy weight that is looming so large that it's looming over his head. David then goes on in verses 5 to 14 to demonstrate all the ways that God is disciplining his son. In verse 5, his wounds stink and fester. And in verse 6, he is driven to the ground. He's laid prostrate, and he goes about all his days in mourning. He is feeling the weight of this. And this weight is so heavy that it is driving him to his knees, is driving him to the ground. Now, some scholars actually believe what David is experiencing is leprosy. You could see by some of the language here, it certainly could be an option. But we simply do not know because we are never given an instance of David experiencing a disease. In verse 7, he feels the pain and his side burns from within. Then at the end of 7, we have the same phrase, there is no soundness in my flesh. The word soundness has relates to this idea of healthy parts. The idea is that his whole body is unhealthy. In verse 9, David declares that all his longing is before God. And in verse 10, he states that his heart throbs. Such an interesting word in the Greek. In the Hebrew, it speaks of the idea of heart palpitations. The idea is that this disease has so racked his body that he's most likely has a fever, and it is racing. Racing because of the disease, of the sickness of his body, as it attempts to ward off this disease. And in verse 10, he goes so far as to say that the light has gone from his eyes. You can feel the desperation as David is coming to his end. And right when it is the worst, he looks around. He looks around for help. And what he finds is that his friends and companions are far off from his plague. They won't even come close to him because of his disease. And lastly, in verses 13 and 14, he has nothing left to say. I love what a commentary states on this in comparison to Job. It states this, how different this sufferer is from Job. This man is silently absorbed in his suffering, whereas Job was all too anxious to protest against his friends and to argue with God. This man knows that he has sinned. And in his sin, he waits for God to initiate reconciliation. End quote. You see, the distinction is David knew his sin had brought him to this point. So he has nothing left to say. He has nothing left to give. He can't defend himself because he knows he's guilty before a righteous judge. If this isn't the road to the good news of Jesus, I don't know what is. I pray that no matter where you are this morning, that if you have experienced the weight of what David is proclaiming physically, some of you may be experiencing a disease, and these words are still true to you, perhaps more real in some ways. But even if you're standing here today and you're healthy, or perhaps you're young, children, you can't think of a day where your body will begin to fall apart. You can't think of a day where you'll be sick, or certainly not for a long period of time. But the reality is that this sickness is ultimately greater than some physical sickness. It runs far deeper than that. It is the sickness, it is the disease of sin in your lives. And I pray that the burden of sin, the weight of sin is all encompassing and it drives you to your knees. Because hear me, you will not be able to bear that burden alone. The burden of sin and death will just leave you to be crushed beneath the weight of sin. It'll lead you to only the punitive side. It'll lead you to being righteously judged by the Creator of heaven and earth. But hear me, this does not What I am not saying that is that if you have a disease that you are experiencing this because of your sin. I think this psalm does well to kind of counteract Job's situation in demonstrating to us either if we are innocent or guilty of a situation that God is sovereign over all situations. But if you are here today and you know that you have grievously sinned, that you felt the weight, and I pray that you all have experienced the weight of sin and it has driven you to your knees in submission, then confess that sin as David has. Proclaim to the Lord that you know your situation has ultimately been brought about by your own sin, and to come before him in silent submission. This isn't to say the reason why you have cancer or the reason why you have heart disease is because of your sin, but ultimately the fall of Adam and Eve has caused all of diseases in this world. Don't attempt to justify yourself. Don't attempt to pick yourself up. This burden is too large to carry. Rather, fall to your knees, bow your head, and realize the guilt and sickness that has befallen you. Thankfully, that is only half of the good news. You may say, well, where's the good news? Well, the good news comes in the latter part of this psalm. While David clearly displays how he has realized his estate, he has realized his sickness, he also displays to us his patient resolve. Our second point, patient resolve of our sickness. Or I should say, patient resolve through our sickness. Notice that the first half of this sermon is just a realization of our sickness. And in fact, it is a realization that all of humanity is sick. And as Paul says, all are dead in their trespasses and sins. But if that was the end of the conversation, then there would be no hope. And yet, King David displays his patient resolve, the hope he has in God alone to deliver him. And we see this play out, if you will, in verses 15 through 22. In verses 15 to 18, David goes to the Lord and states, "Where else can I go, Lord?" He says, "It is you and you alone who I will wait for." Because remember, there's no one else around. He looked around and his friends and companions are gone. He has realized that the only one who can meet him in his pain and suffering is God. The world cannot offer anything to this man, for he knows that God alone holds the answers. He knows that it is right and just for God to act. And so all he can do is patiently wait. David knows that the answers of the world are of no help. They're of no aid. They're not, there's no comfort in their words. And only his response, only the word of God can bring him hope. In verse 16, David displays not only the hurt of his sickness, his own personal pain and suffering, but also his hurt that has come about from the pain of injustice. His enemies are looking down upon his condition and they are rejoicing over him. He calls for God to not let this injustice go on. He speaks of this as well in verses 19 and 20, where he speaks of his foes that are mighty and vigorous. They are overpowering him. And yet, you see the patient resolve as David seeks for God. While God's people are not to repay evil with evil, his enemies are repaying him for David's good deeds. They're treating him unjustly, and he is seeking the Lord to answer, the Lord to act, the Lord to intervene, and the Lord to defend him from these injustices. And what is so amazing about this text is sandwiched between these two injustices of the enemies. Look at verse 18 with me. So right in between these, I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin. Right in between these two injustices, he realizes that his sin is great. He understands the injustice that is befalling him, but he is also reminded of his own sin. And he's not innocent in this matter. And he goes to the Lord in humble repentance. You see, it's one thing if you realize that you are a sinner in need of grace. It's one thing if you realize that you are not good enough, but it is quite another thing to admit that you are wrong and confess with your mouth that you are sorry. And I love how David ends in verses 21 and 22. Read with me. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. The Psalm of Lament ends in patient resolve. In a man who fully recognizes his situation and is at peace because of the hope he has. The hope he has in his covenanting and faithful God. He pleads with God that he would not forsake him. And this is so much more than saying, God, don't leave. Really what David is proclaiming, and he is saying, Lord, don't forsake me. Be ever present. He doesn't mean just simply don't leave him, but rather, Lord, help me to feel your presence ever so stronger, ever so more. And he ends with the call of salvation. He recognizes his situation. He confesses his wrongdoings, and he calls for God to save him, to deliver him. Truth is, David was awaiting that, wasn't he? But the greatness or the beauty, the magnificence of this psalm shines in the beauty when you think of Jesus Christ. The divine Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. God incarnate came to earth and took on flesh, and he bore the weight of sin for his people. He took that heavy burden that was looming over our heads, and he placed it upon himself. The God of salvation was on display when in the beginning of Matthew we see the birth of Christ. And in Matthew 1:21 states this, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. See, he came with a purpose, church. He came to save his people. The same God who David was looking for at the end of Psalm 38, make haste to help me, O Lord. My salvation is the Lord Jesus come in the flesh and blood. Fast forward in Matthew to the cross of Christ in Matthew 27, or perhaps you're already thinking, Jesus cries out to God in verses 45 to 47. Hear these words. Matthew 27, 45 to 47. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, church, the reason why we can have patient resolve in the midst of our sickness is because we see fully what David only hoped for. David knew the Messiah would come and deliver his people, but we have the revealed word of God in its totality and all that it declares. And now we live our lives looking back on the final act of salvation. Church, do you have patient resolve in the midst of your sickness? The reason we can have unshakable hope is because the God-man Jesus was forsaken on our behalf. He experienced on the cross the full and unmitigated wrath of God in our stead. He experienced the full weight and the righteous punishment which was due to us and to us alone. I've said this many times, but every time that I think of that, of the righteousness that was poured out upon Christ on the cross, I am overwhelmed. Because it makes me think of all the ways that I have sinned and I have fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, in his mercy, he not only took that weight, but he took all the weight, all the shame, all the guilt, all the sin from each and every one of his people. This is why he cried out with a loud voice on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Think of that for a second. Think of that this week. That is why we can have patient resolve. That is why in the midst of suffering and pain and sickness, as we see loved ones die and begin to fall apart around us, that when the world is mocking and saying, where is your God? We can sit there with patient resolve, unmovable resolve, knowing that he will come again to redeem his people. He will come again and make all things new, church. That's why we can have patient resolve this morning. Put your trust in him, church, for he is the only way to salvation. Now that we have examined these two ideas, let us close with some final thoughts. Isn't it amazing how God meets us where we are in his word? You know, I've sat with many of you as you continue to struggle through various of diseases that you have. I've shared laughs and enjoyed your company, and yet nothing compares to the words of our God. This psalm gives us a flip side of Job's predicament. Whereas Job was innocent of what beset him, King David displays how he is guilty before God and that his own sickness has been brought about by his own sin. It is not my job this morning to tell you which side of the coin you are on. But what it is my duty to do is to proclaim that no matter which side, that God is in control. That God is sovereign over each and every one of your lives. He is sovereign over those who have diseases which come about by their own fault of their own, and he is sovereign over others who have sinned and are actively receiving the discipline from the Lord. You know, I think the difference, if you will, if you want some hints or some tips to discern your own situation, is what is it that you are feeling in the midst of your suffering? Do you feel the weight of sin, the guilt, Or do you feel the patient resolve? Because if you feel the guilt, if you feel the weight, then perhaps God is disciplining you for a purpose, to draw you back to Him, to drive you to your knees and to humbly submit to the Lord of heaven and earth. But if you don't feel that, you don't have that guilt, well, perhaps you can pray that God would reveal your sin if that is the case, but also to sit in patient resolve, knowing that He will redeem His people. David felt the weight of his sin. If you are sitting here today and your sin has brought you to your knees, that the weight of sin and shame is overburdening to you, then please lay the weight at the feet of the cross. Remind yourself that there is forgiveness for all those who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you know, because this speaks to everyone in this room, that your sickness goes far deeper than your skin and bones. It goes far deeper than your physical body. All those who are not in Christ, your spiritual soul is dead in sin apart from the grace of God. And if you've experienced the grace of God, then know that we are all in this predicament. And the only way out is through Christ and Christ alone. But also know, church, that there is hope. The truth is, you may have sickness and you have repented of your sins, and the weight of this sickness is not relenting. I've seen that in some of you. You have petitioned the Lord and nothing seems to change. Well, then remember the latter half of this psalm, which displays David's patient resolve. Rest assured, church, that all wrongs will be righted in the coming of our Lord. Rest assured that Christ has paid for all your sins, and there is no more need of a sacrifice. Rest assured, church, that because Christ has been forsaken for you, God will never leave you nor forsake you. That in the most intimate times of your sufferings and the sickness that has beset you, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Find peace in that reality, that God loved you and gave Himself for you, and He will bring you to be with Him with a renewed body. This is not the end of the story, thank God. Because He will come again. He will raise our bodies to life of those who are dead. He will raise us up who are alive, and we will be given our new glorified bodies, and we will reign with Him forever and ever without pain, without suffering. And to be quite honest, in the light of eternity, as Piper probably says, this suffering is light and momentary. Have patient resolve, church. Patient resolve that your Lord will deliver you and you will reign with Him forever and ever. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, Lord most high, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for psalms like Psalm 38. We often want all the happy things and to rejoice and to be thankful, and yet You have brought us to Psalm 38 to dwell in this idea of sickness. And perhaps this has brought up things that people in this church certainly need to hear, certainly need to be convicted of. And so, Lord, convict our hearts. Help us to see the depth of our sickness. Help us to see the great weight that has been taken off of us but through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Drive us to our knees in humble submission. And Lord, help us to praise and worship You all the days of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.